Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sitnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Ted Staunton. So Ted, Bounced isn't your only new release this spring. Tell us about Harry and Claire's amazing staycation.
Okay, sure. Well, Harry and Claire came to me a few years ago. I was delighted to write this book because I hadn't written a picture book in years.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea came to me about a couple of characters that I'd written a magazine piece about. And I turned it into a book, and luckily for me, Tundra Books, which is Penguin Random House, asked me, have you got any picture books?
Oh, how splendid.
Exactly.
You have a lucky streak.
Oh, I tell you. Oh, I was so lucky with that. And I said, I just happen to have a story. Luckily for me, they liked it, so we were off and running. It was originally called Spring Break. It's about two kids who are staying home for a spring break, and it rains every day. And the publishers quite wisely said, Ted, you can't call it Spring Break, because people will only think of the book in the springtime.
Hmm.
He said, staycation.
Well, it's very trendy.
It is. It's so trendy, of course, I didn't know what it meant. So I said, explain. And when they explained, I thought, you know, that's pretty good. I'll go with that. Mm-hmm. And so it ended up being called Harry and Claire's Amazing Staycation. They got a young lady named Mika Song, who is an illustrator based in Brooklyn, New York, to do the artwork. As is often the case with picture books, I had a completely different visual concept, vague visual concept in my head when I wrote it. Mika did exactly the opposite and made it way better. I had all these elaborate schemes floating around, and she drew these simple pictures that really delicately combine what the children are imagining with what's actually going on around them. And she just blends these seamlessly. Just wonderful when somebody that you're collaborating with brings you something that in fact adds to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So you started your career writing a picture book, and since then you've written many more, have you not? Even though it's a while since you...
I think I've done half a dozen. I've done another one since Harry and Claire that won't be out for a couple of years. And in fact, I just finished writing a sequel to Harry and Claire because I had a sort of loopy idea about what they might do next.
So what do you especially like about writing them?
What I like about them partly is just the opportunity to think visually. What, because for me, and I think for most editors and writers, a good picture book is one where the artwork, of course, doesn't simply retell what the words are saying, it in some way amplifies it or brings another dimension to it or another meaning, some kind of irony or humor that the words are not putting right out there. Partly it's that. Partly it forces you to write really succinctly. Picture books are always 32 pages long. Most of that pagination is going to be art. So really, you've only got a few hundred words to tell a story. And the third challenge that makes it really fun is that a good picture book has to appeal, or should appeal, to people of all ages. It's got to be simple enough for a young kid to be entertained by listening to it and looking at the pictures, but it has to be involving enough that you or I might enjoy reading it, because we're often the person who plucks the book from the shelf to share with that 4-year-old or 5-year-old.
Yes. So I know that our listeners can't see the book, but how about taking a page and explaining some of what you, and relating it to just said about your illustrator?
Great. For example, the first double page spread here says, on Monday of vacation, it rained. Harry and his sister Claire stayed in and went to Mars. Mars looked a lot like the family room, except for the volcanoes. And if you look at the spread, we've got Harry and Claire on one side, amongst some absolutely average furniture, and then on the other spread, there's volcanoes and lava gradually creeping across one of the sofas. There's no explanation for that, it's just the way it is. On the next page, they seem to be in a Martian landscape. Harry carried the luggage, Claire, being older, carried the snacks, and they have space helmets on. On Tuesday, it was still raining. Luckily, they could ride a pasta linguine racer around an indoor course in the supermarket. Traffic was heavy. Harry wanted to turn left. I'm driving, said Claire. Now, at first you see them in a racing car. There's a little old lady driving another racing car. The third small picture on that double page spread shows Claire steering Harry, who's standing in a shopping cart. You don't get the full reveal of that till the next page when they're in the checkout line.
Okay.
So that kind of thing happens all the time. I just finished a book that, as I say, will be out in a couple of years, where it's about a kid who loses a stuffed toy. And I go through a succession of replacements that she gets, but the text does not make it clear whether the replacements are actual animals or are stuffed toys. You sort of get the idea. It's got to be a stuffed toy, doesn't it? But I'll leave that to the illustrator to decide how to depict it. So that's how it works for me.
So you've told us a little bit about your plans for the future. I've heard you're going to release a graphic novel and a nonfiction work next year. Are these new genres for you?
Felicity, well, I have written a number of nonfiction books before. Tyrical looks at Canadian history.
Mm-hmm.
This the new one is a bit of a stretch for me. It's written with my son, Will. Most of the time he's a musician. But Will went to journalism school, and this will be the second book we've collaborated on. The working title is Canadian Ingenuity at its Worst. And that came from a conversation.
Sounds terrifying.
Yeah. It was a line in an email I sent to an editor one day about a comment, just a flippant comment about something, and she emailed me back the next day and said, that's a book title. And essentially it's a compendium of stuff that only Canadians would think of or do.
Oh, not can't wait.
we've spun it so that this is ingenious, but some of it is not really that ingenious. You know, the guy is attempting to escape from the police by riding an ice floe down in the river. A man who cleared snow from in front of his driveway using a Zamboni, which put a layer of ice down on the road. There are, as it turns out, endless examples of this. The World War II scheme for an aircraft carrier made of ice.
Lovely.
Only in Canada. Let's not go any further with that.
I see. Well, you've obviously been having fun with that.
Yeah.
We should let you read from Harry and Claire's Amazing Staycation, because we haven't got all that much time.
Okay.
So read us the story.
I will indeed. I'll put in one quick plug for the graphic novel, which doesn't have a title yet, but it will be out in 2019. It's it's more serious book. It's about the 1933 riot at Christie Pitts in Toronto.
Yes.
And in this day and age, worries about multiculturalism and assimilation and all kinds of things, we hope it will be timely.
Yes.
All right. Harry and Claire. On Monday of vacation, it rained. Harry and his sister Claire stayed in and went to Mars. Mars looked a lot like the family room, except for the volcanoes. Harry carried the luggage. Claire, being older, carried the snacks. Harry had an idea, but his stomach was growling and his hands were full of suitcase. Look out! Cried Claire. Quicksand! She ate Harry's snack for him because he was busy sinking. On Tuesday, it was still raining. Luckily, they could ride a Pastelinguini racer around an indoor course in the supermarket. Traffic was heavy. Harry wanted to turn left. I'm driving, said Claire. Following a dizzying skid through the frozen food, Claire let Harry park them in the checkout line. You're too little for one hand, she said. Use two. Harry held tight. But it was too late. Claire had already eaten their granola bars. On Wednesday, it was still raining. Harry had a tough day. About to be a dolphin at the pool, he was captured by a pirate queen who made him walk the plank instead. And that afternoon, while playing school, teacher Claire sent Harry to the office for trying to eat his snack in class. Young man, Principal Claire warned him, this is the fourth time this week you've been sent down to see me. I'm very disappointed in you. People who eat during arithmetic are not allowed to eat at all. Harry had an idea. Said the principal, whose mouth was full, or there will be extra homework. When school got out, Harry snuck a snack up the high mountain. In the nick of time, he heard the dreaded huffing of an approaching abdominal snowman. He hid his cookies in his pockets, and he didn't share his idea either. At supper time, Harry tucked away more supplies. Luckily, nothing fell from his pockets when he performed on the couch high-wire trapeze trampoline when lion tamer Claire made him jump through hoops. And on Thursday, the sun finally shone. Harry accompanied Claire on a treasure hunt through the jungle. It looked a lot like the park, except for the vines and wild animals. "Watch out for umpire bats," whispered Claire, "and hop quietly. The hippo is sleeping." She jumped, clunk, over the sandbox. Harry had another idea. He kept it to himself. "We're looking for a sunken ship guarded by a monster octopus," Claire went on. "We'd better ride our kimono dragons so we can get there faster." Harry rode hard to keep up. He held on to his idea. "Duck!" cried Claire. "It's elephant hummingbirds!" Then she reined in her kimono dragon. "Oh, no," she said. "We forgot snacks. We'll have to go back." Harry didn't say a word. He climbed off his dragon, took something from his pocket, and began to munch. "Is that a baby carrot?" asked Claire. Harry didn't answer. His mouth was full. "Where did you get that?" Claire demanded. Harry didn't answer. He took something else from his pocket and munched again. "Is that a cookie?" Claire asked. Harry swallowed. "Asteroid burger," he said. "It is a cookie," cried Claire. "Give me some." Harry said, "I have asteroid burgers and volcano sticks." He showed her, then nibbled. They were dry but tasty, except for the linty bits. "Which one do you want?" Now Claire's stomach growled. She said, "Can I have some of both?" "Both what?" Harry asked slowly. "Asteroid burgers and volcano sticks," Claire said, even slower. "Okay," said Harry, "I'll share, but I think the treasure is in a cave under a mountain." He held out a volcano stick. Claire took it. "Okay, but there's still a monster octopus in the cave." The mountain looked a lot like the playground climber, except for the monster octopus. Claire and Harry climbed and dove for hours and hours and gathered a magnificent collection of rare pinecone pearls to bring home. Harry showed Claire the prehistoric park bench dinosaur skeletons. Claire warned Harry about the squirrel sharks. Riding home, Harry and Claire shared the last of the volcano sticks and asteroid burgers. Together, they made a nice combination. And that's the end of the story.
That's a wonderful story. Many thanks, Ted, for coming in and telling us about your latest releases and projects. Where can our listeners buy your books, Ted?
Most everywhere, Felicity. Certainly around here, Furby House in Port Hope and Let's Talk Books. I'm sure they have them.
Okay. So, to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.